Well, you can be turning back over to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, again this evening. We were kind of looking at that a little bit in the service this morning about the command that the apostle issued here in Ephesians, chapter number 5, and verse number 18. And we began talking about what it means to be born of the Spirit and how that those who are born of the Spirit now are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And that is, if there's been that experience in your life, when the Lord dealt with your heart and revealed to you that you were lost and separated from Him and brought you to the point of repentance, brokenness over your sin, and faith, that is, surrender and belief in what Jesus did on the cross and His resurrection as the answer to your need, and brought you to that point of trusting in Christ and Christ alone, and God saved you, then that means that right now the Holy Spirit who birthed you also now indwells you. He lives on the inside of you. The life of God, the Spirit of God, is indwelling you. He lives within you. I tell you that if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. If the Spirit of God is not living on the inside of you, then you do not belong to Him. But now that you're saved, He lives on the inside of you. Now when you've got somebody living with you, I'm talking about if you get married and somebody now is dwelling with you in the relationship of marriage, one of the things that you want to do is to get to know that person a little bit. Amen. I mean, you want to get to know how they tick. You want to get to know what their purposes are and what it is that they like and what it is that they dislike. Getting to know one another. Another is a lifetime experience in marriage. And all the husbands said, amen. Sure. And all the wives said, amen. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Larry, I'm disappointed, man. I was expecting you to really kick in on that one. Amen. All right. Thank you, brother. Okay. And, you know, it's just a lifetime experience of getting to know one another in marriage. And even so, we have someone who not only is with us, John 14, He not only lives with us, but John 14, Jesus said that He actually is going to live on the inside of you. Now, if there's somebody living on the inside of me, I think I better get to know a little bit more about Him. Amen? And about what His plans are and what His purposes are and what it is that He desires. Otherwise, I'm going to be a miserable person. It's kind of like getting married and not getting to know one another and not learning what each other likes and not learning, let's just put it this way, not learning how to get along with each other. There are no two people more miserable than a husband and wife that don't know how to get along with each other. And all the husband said, amen. All right, Larry, you're doing better. I heard something back there. Yeah. And I want to tell you that there is nobody any more miserable than a Christian who has the Holy Spirit living on the inside of him or her, who hasn't learned how to relate to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that person who lives on the inside of you. Amen? I mean, listen, when you're grieving the Spirit of God and quenching the Spirit of God, you can get really miserable on the inside. Some of you might wonder why that is. It's because the Spirit of God who's living on the inside of you keeps dealing with your heart and working on you. He's grieved and He's quenched on the inside of you. There's nobody more miserable than the person who has tasted of God's grace and goodness, who's known His presence in their life, who's experienced a little touch of God in their life, a little bit of the glory of God, known His presence, walked in His presence, experienced His presence, and then is seemingly outside the realm of God's manifest presence. That is, we know that He lives on the inside of us and He never departs from us, but it's as though that He is so grieved and so quenched that we don't sense His presence and aren't aware of His presence and aren't walking in the Spirit and experiencing the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our life. And once you, listen, that's a miserable person who's known God's presence and is not walking in the Spirit and experiencing the presence of God. And it's kind of like being married and not being able to get along with your spouse. And so I want to encourage you to commit your life. There is no one single message, and there is no one single service, and there's no one single series of revival services or anything else that's going to give us all the answers about how to relate to the Holy Spirit. It is a lifelong journey of learning about Him and being able to learn to relate to Him who lives on the inside of us and how to be yielded to Him and how to allow Him to be the one that dominates our life, because that is His purpose. Let me just put it this way. His purpose is to take over your life. He wants to take over your life from the inside out. Listen, His purpose is to conform you into the image of Christ so that you look less like yourself and more like Jesus. He wants to dominate your life. You say, Pastor, nobody's going to dominate my life. But listen to me now. He wants to dominate your life, and it's the best domination that you'll ever experience in your life. The Spirit of God in your heart, dominating your life, dominating your thought life, and thereby dominating every other area of your inner man. The Spirit of God dominating you from the inside out, controlling you, filling you is the term that is used here in Ephesians 5:18. Not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess. And I touched on that this morning, and don't make me do that again, amen. I mean, listen, you ought to stay away from any intoxicating beverages. And it's not wise, it's not smart. If you're lost, you'll stay away from those things that paralyze your mind and dull your senses that are unnecessary apart from the medical condition. People take prescribed medications for medical conditions. I'm not talking about that. But those, listen, I'm talking about those who abuse intoxicants in order to be able to get some kind of buzz off of it. You don't have to have that when you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. If you need some joy, He'll give it. Listen, He is able to give you joy and peace and fill you with love and long-suffering. He'll straighten out your relationships. He'll help you if you allow Him to dominate your life. You see, somebody who is drinking intoxicating beverages is allowing alcohol or whatever it is that they're on, is allowing that to begin to take over their senses and take over their life. It takes you over so that you say things that you would not say if you were sober, and you do things that you would not do if you were sober. And even so, if you want to compare it the way that Paul seems to be doing it here, and that is that you need somebody to take over your life, but it is not alcohol, it is not another intoxicating beverage or any kind of drug, but it is the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you. The idea of being filled with the Spirit is the idea of Him taking over your life. That He is Him dominating your life, dominating your thoughts, and taking over your life, and He wants to do it. You say, Pastor, how could I get the Holy Spirit to fill me? Listen, He wants to already. You don't have to convince Him. You don't have to talk Him into it. You don't have to coax Him. You don't have to beg Him. Listen, that's His purpose and that's His desire. You just have to let Him do it and stop quenching and grieving Him. He is like a fire. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? He's like a fire. Listen, a fire that is lit, if you just let it go, it'll consume everything around it. I mean, it'll burn up everything. And the Spirit of God will dominate your life like a fire if you stop pouring water on Him. Don't put Him out. That's what the Bible means when it says quench not the Spirit. You say, what's it mean? Stop pouring water on the fire. And let the one who lives on the inside of you do what it is that He wants to do, and that's dominate your life from the inside out. Get to know Him so that He can dominate your life and so that He can fill you. And I'm going to say to you that when it comes to the filling, dominating work of the Holy Spirit in your life, that He wants to fill and dominate the life of every Christian. Sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that as preachers need to be filled with the Spirit and missionaries need to be filled with the Spirit of God, and those who are doing the work of evangelism and other those who are leading worship service and those kind of people need to be filled with the Spirit of God. But I want to say to you that every Christian, every person who's saved needs to be, should be, and ladies and gentlemen, in this passage of Scripture, in this verse, is commanded to be. This is a command. It's in the imperative mood, the verb is. And that means that this is a command from God to you. And that is that He's commanding every Christian to be indwelt and dominated and controlled by the Spirit of God. And to continue to be dominated and controlled by the Spirit of God. I said to you this morning that it's in the present tense. That indicates to us that this is something that needs to continually be happening in the life of a believer. Being filled with the Spirit is not something that happens just once, but it's something that is a continual process in the life of a believer. Continuously keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. I find out that I need the Holy Spirit to dominate my life every day. Amen. And there are times when I need a special move of the Holy Spirit in my heart. And need Him to dominate my life. There are times when we face difficult times. We need a special filling of the Spirit of God on the inside of us. But it needs to be a continuous process in our life. Continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. A lifelong process. Well, I want to talk to you a little while this evening about, I really don't know how to say it except that both ways. I want to talk to you about what I would say are the reasons why we need to be filled with the Spirit. The reasons why, from a biblical standpoint, if we just went through the Bible and noticed the reasons why we need to be filled with the Spirit. But these reasons are also the results of being filled with the Spirit. The results of being filled with the Spirit are also the reasons why we need to be filled with the Spirit. So you can call them reason or you can call them results, but they are both. Let me just share a few of them with you. Right here in Ephesians 5, we find some reasons why or results of being filled with the Spirit of God. One of the reasons why we need to allow the Holy Spirit to dominate our lives is so that we can experience real worship from our hearts. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, look at it again in Ephesians 5, verse 18. It says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The sentence does not stop there. It goes on and it says, speaking to yourselves. In Psalms, they would be referring back, of course, to the Psalms like we have in the Old Testament. And hymns. Hymns are those we would think of them as poems or statements of faith that were written by the early church that they oftentimes sang. We still sing those today. And spiritual songs. Spiritual songs would be, I believe, referring to songs that reflect our testimony, songs that reflect our experience in life, our experience with the Lord, songs that reflect our experience with Him. There are many spiritual songs today that are written that reflect the experiences of people with the Lord. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In other words, here's what the Bible is talking about in verse number 19. It's talking about those who are experiencing real worship in their hearts, who are singing and making melody in their hearts to the Lord. I mean, there's something going on between their hearts and the Lord. There's real worship going on. I mean, there's spiritual songs. There's some hymns. These are songs that reflect what we believe. Spiritual songs reflect what we experience. And the Psalms reflect indeed the biblical account, the Psalms in the Old Testament particularly. And the idea is God's people worshiping and singing and making melody in their heart to the Lord. You see, that's one of the reasons why that we need to be filled with the Spirit is so that we can worship. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know that there is a connection between worship and being filled and dominated by the Holy Spirit of God? You see, the reason why the worship becomes dry in our hearts is, listen, it's not necessarily because of the building that we meet in. It's not because of the circumstances around us. I'm going to tell you the reason why worship gets dry in the hearts of the redeemed. It's because we are not filled with the Holy Spirit. That's it. I mean, we're just full of the flesh. I mean, we walk into church having walked in the flesh and having lived in the flesh and having our lives centered around our old flesh all week long and coming to church and give Brother Greg the challenge of making us worship. I dare you, Brother Greg, to make me worship. And by the way, I don't like you anyway. Amen. I mean, listen, that's folks coming to church with that kind of an attitude. That is just no fleshly, nasty, ungodly attitude they've been carrying around the hearts all week long and mad at somebody and bitter in their hearts. And I mean just concerned about what they're going to eat later on, just full of the flesh. Anybody still with me? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you see, the real issue is whether or not I'm walking in the flesh or walking in the Spirit. And when I'm walking in the Spirit, guess what? I can worship anywhere, anytime. Listen, I don't have to be in church. I can be driving down the road and worship God. And I might be at home worshiping God. And I can walk into church. It doesn't make any difference what hymn Brother Greg picks. It doesn't matter which one it is. I can find something in that song to say hallelujah about. I mean, really, I mean, if it has something about Jesus or if it has something about the Lord or if it has something about God, it don't matter. I'm going to worship God. It's good enough for me. Amen. All I need is just a little spark to get me going when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Y'all still with me, aren't you? I thought so. Yeah. Trying to see why it is we need to be filled with the Spirit and what the results of being filled with the Spirit is. You can begin to really worship God if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You can really begin to sing and make melody from your heart to the Lord. It can become more than just singing a song. It can become a real experience of the heart when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what's missing in our worship service. That's it. You say, Pastor, what in the world is missing in our worship service? I just told you. Well, We need to be filled with the Spirit so that we can experience real worship from our hearts. One of the problems that we often have, and by way of worship, and this is just on the side, it's you don't have to pay me any extra for this. Amen. Listen, and I'm, yeah, thank you, brother. I know we kept him around here for something. Yeah, wait, listen. Are you ready? Almost forgot what I was going to say. Let me tell you what happens in a lot of Christian circles today. Is we make worship nothing more than just trying to pump up the flesh. Just trying to pump up the flesh. Stir up the flesh. And I want to tell you that worship needs to become something spiritual. Something the Spirit of God is in. Something that's coming from your heart to the Lord. No matter what kind of music, what a style it is, it's not an issue of music style, but it is an issue of the heart. And what's missing, indeed, is what is identified here in Ephesians 5 as being filled with the Holy Spirit, so that then, as a result of that, now we can be speaking and singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. So the worship becomes real worship. That's why you need to get to know the Holy Spirit. You need to learn how to walk in the Spirit. You need to learn how to get abandoned to Him and surrender to Him and allow Him to begin to dominate your life from the inside out. So we can experience real worship from our hearts. Let me say to you another thing, a second thing. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can experience real gratitude in all of our circumstances. Look at the next verse. Notice with me here that after verse number 19, the sentence here continues on. And in verse number 20, the Bible says this. Paul writes, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, you see, the Bible says those who are filled with the Spirit, you not only is it evident from the fact that they're making melody in their heart, that is, they're worshiping, but also the Bible says here, you can tell that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and one of the reasons why we need to be is you can tell it by our thanksgiving, our giving of thanks to the Lord for all things. Yeah, did you notice that? That seems to be a key phrase, and that is giving thanks to the Lord for all things. Giving thanks to God for everything and in everything. Being thankful. The idea seems to be having a heart of gratitude in all of our circumstances, and that means that no matter what happens in life, that our heart was still filled with gratitude. It's sort of a gratitude of thanksgiving that is not dependent on our circumstances, but it is one that flows out of our relationship to God. Now, if you were living in the flesh, then that means that when things were going the way that you wanted them to go, you would be thankful, and when things were not going the way you wanted them to go, then you would be upset, and you would be griping, and you would be complaining all the time. If you're walking in the flesh, because that's how the flesh acts and reacts. When I get my way, hey, I'm okay. And when I don't get my way, I'm not okay. Does that describe anyone that is here tonight? You see, that's the way the flesh is. But I want to tell you, when you're walking in the Spirit, the Bible teaches us that we can experience the giving of thanks in all of our circumstances, in all things, for all things, no matter what is going on around us. Because this is a thanksgiving that does not depend on our circumstances, but it flows out of our relationship with the Lord Jesus, with His Spirit who lives on the inside of us. Yeah. One of the results of being filled with the Spirit is you'll be thankful. Grateful, thankful for all things. You sure will. Listen, some of you that are here that have attitude problems, and I suppose that probably includes all of us from time to time, who have just nasty, unthankful, and ungrateful attitudes. Are you ready? You say, Pastor, I really don't know what my problem is. I can tell you what your problem is. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You have not been walking with God. Spending time with the Lord and walking with Him, getting surrendered to Him on a daily basis. You got somebody living on the inside of you that you haven't got to know very well. Yes. Yeah. And you need to get to know Him. When the Spirit of God dominates your life from the inside out instead of your flesh, as opposed to your flesh, then you'll be characterized by someone who is thankful and grateful for all things, for everything. Are y'all still with me? You say, Pastor, I don't know if I can do that. No, you can't. That's why you have to let Him take over. That's just the whole idea. It's allowing somebody else to dominate your life besides you. Because if you're in control of your life, you're not going to be this way. But if you allow the Spirit of God to dominate your life from the inside out, He will make you thankful and full of gratitude for all things. And so one of the reasons why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit is so we can experience real worship from our hearts. And so that we can experience, real gratitude in all of our circumstances. A third reason why is so that we can experience real submission in our relationships. I kind of wish that the sentence would have ended at verse 20, but it didn't. Paul has a problem knowing where to end his sentence, doesn't he? I think the Spirit of God must be in this. Yeah. He goes on and he writes, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then, finally, after all that, the sentence finally ends. Paul is saying, don't get drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. And here's what will happen if you're filled with the Spirit. You'll be speaking to yourselves in psalms and songs, and spiritual songs, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And I tell you, you'll be thankful, grateful, full of thanksgiving to God in all things. And you'll be submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. You know what? One of the reasons why that we need to be filled with the Spirit is so that we can experience real submission in our relationships. One of the results of being filled with the Holy Spirit is a submissive attitude. Well, the Bible talks about here, about submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Here's what it means. Basically, submission is the idea of surrendering my will for somebody else. It's the opposite of selfishness. The opposite of selfishness is the idea of surrendering to the will of another. It's the idea of me humbling myself and placing somebody else ahead of myself and ahead of my needs. Yeah. Now I wish that Paul would not have elaborated on this, and we could have squeaked by if he would have just not expounded on it. Amen. If he would have just stated the principle and not given any examples of what he means by that, we would have been all right. But he didn't. I mean, this guy sticks his nose in everybody's business. He does. I mean, think about it. Here's a guy who's never been married, and here's what he says. He said, you know what? He said, while we're on the topic, wives, you need to submit yourselves to your husbands, as unto the Lord, in verse number 22. The reason why is because the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He's the Savior of the body. Here's what he said. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, one of the results of being filled with the Holy Spirit is that you will be submissive. And he said, here's an example of what I mean. He said, I mean wives being submissive to their husbands. Yeah. You know the reason why wives have a hard time submitting to their husbands? Some of you really want to answer me right now, don't you? You do. You say, I can give you several reasons right now. Why? Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Hold your peace, okay? Are you ready? I mean, here's a biblical answer for you. It's because you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, Pastor, if my husband was a better husband, I would be able to be more submissive to him. You know, I don't doubt that that may not be true. It'd probably be easier to be submissive to him if he was a better husband. But the command does not say be submissive to those husbands that are better. No. You see, the missing element, ladies, in your relationship to your husband is the filling of the Holy Spirit. It really is. That's it. And I wish that Paul would have stopped right there, don't you? I mean, really, wouldn't that have been great, guys? I mean, if that was the end of the chapter and the end of the conversation, I mean, listen, that would have been wonderful, but it doesn't stop there. You see, he goes on, he says, and by the way, husbands, I want you to love your wives just like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Remember that verse? It just follows right there. And it's the idea that just as the wives are to place their husbands ahead of themselves, that's the idea of being submissive. It's the idea of placing your husband ahead of yourself, above yourself, over yourself. And then he turns around and said, husbands, I want you to love of your wives. And the husbands go, glad I don't have to be submissive to her. But you see, loving your wife has the same concept. It's the idea of placing your wife ahead of yourself and placing her above yourself and honoring her above yourself and caring for her and meeting her needs. And I could keep going on, but I'm afraid to. Just the idea. You say, Pastor, why do I have such a struggle with this in my life? And you remember the passage I preached out of a few weeks ago where Paul was writing to the Colossians, a parallel passage. And he said, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. In Colossians chapter 3, I believe it is. And you see, all that goes together. You say, I struggle with that in my heart and in my life. Loving my wife in a sacrificial way like Christ loved the church and placing her above myself. I'm so selfish and so self-centered. What do I need to be able to help me with this? Number one need, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's it. Filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you'll allow Him to dominate your life, you can experience real submission in your relationships. And listen to me. And you can experience real harmony in your home. You can experience real harmony in your home. That's right. Listen, I found out in dealing with marriage personally and dealing with marriage in other people's lives that most marriage problems boil down to one common problem, and that's selfishness. I just want my way. I want things to center around me. And the Bible is calling us to a life of selflessness. And listen, one of the evidences or the reasons why we need to be filled with the Spirit and the result of being filled with the Spirit will be a life of submission, of placing other people ahead of myself, surrendering to their will instead of demanding mine. And ladies and gentlemen, that kind of a submissive spirit does not come naturally, but supernaturally as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. You want to have harmony in your home? There are several things I could recommend. I could recommend a good book to read, maybe several. I could recommend maybe some counseling to go to. But the one thing I would recommend above all of that is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you'll allow the Spirit of God to dominate your hearts, men, guess what? You'll be able to love your wives no matter what. No matter what. And listen to me now. Ladies, if you let the Spirit of God dominate your heart and your life, you'll be able to have an attitude of submission towards your husbands, an attitude of reverence and respect, no matter what. Yeah. The filling of the Holy Spirit. The reason why and the result of being filled with the Spirit is so we can experience real worship from our hearts, so that we can experience real gratitude in all of our circumstances, so that we can experience real submission in our relationships, so that we can experience real harmony in our homes. Let me give you another one. It's so that we might experience effective witnessing in the world around us. You see, one of the things that God has called us to do is to be witnesses. That is to share the gospel. Now, you're all aware of that. We talk about that a lot here at Eastern Gate and emphasize the idea of witnessing and sharing the gospel and telling other people about Christ. And some of you might be here and say, Pastor, I'm trying to witness and share the gospel with people. And I just don't see that it's really doing that much. It's not really all that effective. When I look at our church ministry as a whole, and as you all look at our church ministry as a whole, we wonder at times how effective we're being, even though we are striving to be witnesses. And so you say, what is the key to effective witnessing? That is, witnessing that God uses. That is, that God blesses. That is, that God operates through. Well, I'm going to say to you that the key is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Remember Acts chapter 1 and verse 8? But you will receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so there we find that the key to being God's witnesses is experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. You remember Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, where the Bible tells us there that after a time of being persecuted and intimidated, the early church got together and began to pray. I referred to it this morning. They began to pray, and as they were praying, the Spirit of God began to move, and the place literally began to shake. There was a physical manifestation, and the Bible says in Acts 4:31 that when they had prayed, the place where they was gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the Word of God with boldness. What was the key to that bold witnessing that God used to cause people by the hundreds and thousands come to Christ? I want to say to you that the key was the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's the key to being a witness, to being an effective witness that God can use. The key is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I tell you, the reason why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit is so that we can be effective in our witnessing. Another reason why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit is so that we might experience discernment in spiritual warfare. Did you know that, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a child of God, you've been redeemed by the grace of God, you are in the midst of spiritual warfare. That is, that there is much demonic activity going on around us, and you and I need to be able to have discernment in the midst of spiritual warfare. And here's how we can experience discernment in the midst of spiritual warfare. The key to that is being filled with the Holy Spirit. I love the experience of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter number 13. Listen to this experience. I've got to read it to you. It's a great account. In Acts chapter 13 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, desired to hear the word of God." So here's this official. He's wanting to hear the word of God. "But there is this sorcerer," verse 8, "Elymas the sorcerer withstood them." He's standing in their way. He's trying to stop them. This guy is demon-possessed. And the Bible says he's seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. That is, there's this leading official on this island that's wanting to hear the word of God, and they're trying to share it with them. And this guy who's demon-possessed is trying to stop them and trying to stop this leading official from turning to Christ, doing everything he can to be able to stop him. "And then Saul," verse 9, "who is also called Paul," now listen to this, "filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him." Now that's not a look that you want to get, I have a feeling. "He focused his eyes," or he looked at him, and here's what he said, "O full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all unrighteousness, of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee." And those of you that were in discipleship training know that when the hand of the Lord is upon something, something is going to happen. And he said, "The hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand." Listen, the Bible tells us here that here's a man demon-possessed, full of the devil, and he's trying to stop the gospel. And the Apostle Paul, full of the Holy Spirit, had such discernment that he was able to know exactly what to do and what to say in such a way that this man was suddenly and miraculously and supernaturally stricken with blindness. You say, how in the world would Paul know how to do something like that? He was filled with the Holy Spirit. You need discernment in spiritual warfare. And the key to experiencing discernment is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we might experience Christian character in our lives. Have you ever noticed that some folks who have made professions of faith and claim to be Christians, and by our ability to view the hearts of anyone, we would assume that they are, act very unchristian-like? Have you ever noticed that? Demonstrate the kind of character that doesn't look much like Jesus at all. Maybe you find yourself doing it at times, acting in such a way that it is not very Christ-like at all. You say, "Pastor, why in the world do I do that?" I'm going to tell you the one reason. It's because you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, the Bible tells us there in verses 22 and 23 what it is like to be dominated by the Holy Spirit in your life. The Bible tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is. Now, you all know this passage, or many of you do, but if you don't, you ought to turn there, and it ought to be one that you ought to remember. And that is, here's what the fruit of the Spirit is. That is, here's what the Spirit produces in the lives of those in whom He dominates. The Bible says there that the fruit of the Spirit is love. Yeah, it's joy. You say, Pastor, I don't have any joy. It's because you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you having trouble loving folks, forgiving folks, getting along people? It's because, listen to me now, the reason why is because you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. It's love, it's joy, it's peace. Listen, if your life is not dominated by peace, it's because you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. It's long-suffering, yeah. You say, I just have trouble putting up with people, and people get on my nerves so bad, and I just let them have it. And listen, I'm about short-fused. I'm just a short-fused person. No, you're just not filled with the Spirit. Say, it's just my character. You're just not filled with the Spirit. Long-suffering. Guess what? You'll find yourself being gentle. And goodness, faith, meekness, yeah, strength under control. Meekness is the idea of somebody who can humble themselves out of strength and not inferiority. Meekness, temperance or self-control. You say, Pastor, I got some things in my life I just can't control. And I don't know what to do about this habit in my life. It's out of control. I don't know what to do. You just need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and you'll be able to. You'll be able to, yeah. It's just the idea that you are walking in the flesh. You're walking in the flesh and that's your problem. And you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you can break that cycle of addiction and have some self-control. I often say that to people that are struggling with something and people that talk to me, you can testify to this, and they often tell them, you need a little self-control. Amen. Yeah, you say, I said this and I shouldn't have said it. Why did I say this? You need some self-control. That's what you need. But you need to reel that thing. You know that thing right there in your mouth? You need to reel that thing in and control it. Amen. You say, Pastor, I don't seem to be able to do it. Here's why. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you need to be dominated by Him on the inside of your life instead of being controlled by your flesh. All right, y'all still with me, aren't you? All right. I'm just trying to get you to see why you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit instead of walking in the flesh. So we can have Christian character in our lives. So we can experience the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance in our life. I tell you well to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we might experience victory over the lust of the flesh. You say, Pastor, I have trouble with the lust of the flesh. I am really struggling. What is the key to experiencing victory? It's right here in Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Yeah. You know what the key is to experiencing victory over the lust of the flesh? You got it. Walking in the Spirit of being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's right. Those old carnal, ungodly desires on the inside of you. They seem to dominate your life. You allow the Holy Spirit to dominate your life and they won't anymore. These two are contrary to one to the other. And that is, they go in separate directions, as I talk about this morning. So that if you're walking in the Spirit, you're not going to be dominated by the lust of the flesh. And listen, if you're dominated by the lust of the flesh, you're not but being dominated by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what's the answer? Allow the Holy Spirit to dominate and control your life. And you'll learn to walk in victory over the lust of the flesh. Everybody's still with me, aren't you? You got another couple minutes? Let me show you another one. And that is the reason why and the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit is so that we can experience full assurance of our salvation. Yeah. Did you know the Bible says over in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 16, the Bible says that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I love 1 John chapter number 3. Listen to these a couple of verses. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 24, the Bible says this, and hereby we know that He abides in us by His Spirit, which He's given us. In chapter number 4 of that same book, 1 John verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He's given us of His Spirit. There seems to be a connection between assurance and the Spirit. The Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Here's what I want you to see. And that is, if you're saved, you can know that you're saved. Not only a shadow of a doubt, you can have great assurance. I mean, filled with assurance. And the reason why is, first of all, because you have a conversion experience that you can go back to and you can remember when the Lord saved you. Not only do you have a conversion experience, but you have a changed life. When the Lord saved you, He made you a new creature. But you also have the indwelling Spirit on the inside of you. And you also have the testimony of this book. But listen to me now. You can have inner assurance, assurance coming from your heart. Now the reason why that there are many people who are confused and live in doubt all of their life is because they do not have assurance on the inside in their hearts that they're saved. And some of them aren't saved. That's why they don't have any assurance. Because the Holy Spirit's not living on the inside of them. They have an experience somewhere back there, and so they think they're saved, but they don't have any assurance on the inside, and they live in this turmoil and confusion. Because I had this experience, but I don't have any assurance on the inside. But I want to say to you that if you're a child of God and the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you, He never purposed for you to live a doubt-filled life. As a matter of fact, it is not characteristic of a true born-again Christian to doubt their salvation. It happens, but it is not characteristic. And it is evidence, when it happens in my life, it is evidence that I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're doubting whether you're saved or not, one or two things is wrong. You're either not saved, or you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit's filling your life, you're going to be full of sweet assurance. Assurance of salvation. Full of assurance. Let me give you another one. You got a couple more minutes, don't you? I thought so. One of the reasons why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit is so that we might experience a powerful prayer life. You know, the Holy Spirit is into helping us pray. Listen to Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 26. Romans 8 and verse 26, the Bible says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities." Well, what infirmity is Paul writing about? "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us, which groaning with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." And listen to me, without being able to have the time to expound on this passage, let me just say to you, the Spirit of God wants to help you in your prayer life. So you know who to pray for and how to pray. He wants to give you a burden in your heart, groanings which cannot be uttered. He wants to help you in your prayer life. Listen, the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. He knows what you need to be praying for, and He wants to be involved in your prayer life so that you can experience a Spirit-led, Spirit-filled prayer life. You know what Spirit-filled people find themselves doing? Spend a lot of time in prayer. You say, "Pastor, I really struggle with my prayer life." Well, there may be many reasons why. It may be some personal discipline issues in your life, but I'll tell you the number one thing that most of us the number one thing that we struggle with is being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the issue. Not filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen to me now. If you're not spending time in prayer, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. So He wants to fill us so we can experience a powerful prayer life. Do you know that if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that you're going to experience growth in the Word of God? Yeah, that's right. Did you know the Bible says in 1 John 2:27, the Bible says that we have an anointing. That's the word that is used there. We have an anointing. It's a word that is used for the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you. And this anointing teaches us, and that we don't need for any man to teach us, because this anointed teaches us the things of God. You say, "Pastor, what in the world is that talking about?" Well, it's probably referring to what Jesus said. He said in John 14, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will cause you to remember all the things that I've taught you. He'll even show you things to come. Here's what He's saying: when the Holy Spirit is going to come, He's going to teach you all things. He is the great teacher. You say, "Pastor, I don't feel like that I really am doing very well in understanding the Word of God." It may be that you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's the great teacher. He's the one who enlightens us so that the Word of God can come alive to our hearts. Let me say to you, if this book is boring to you, you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, the Spirit of God will teach you so you can grow in the Word. Did you know that one of the reasons why we need to be filled with the Spirit is so we can grow in the Word? Another reason why we need to be filled with the Spirit is so that we can walk in liberty. Listen to this in 2 Corinthians 3. And by the way, just in case you're wondering, I'm getting close to being done. Okay. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Freedom. Freedom. So, Pastor, why do I need to be filled with the Spirit? So that you can walk in freedom and liberty. Yeah. Freedom and liberty. Not all bound up. There's nobody more bound up than the person who's not walking in the Spirit. All bound up. In your thought life, in your attitude, all bound up. In your actions, slaving habits. So I wish I could get free. You can be free. The Spirit of God on the inside of you can bring liberty and freedom to your life. He can break those things that have you bound and set you free if you'll let Him. The key is being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then finally, the Spirit of God. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can experience the transformed life. In verse 18, right here in 2 Corinthians 3, and I'll stop there. I could keep going on, but I won't. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed." The idea of change there is transformed from the inside out. Changed into the same image. That is, the image of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, changed into the same image from glory to glory. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? It's as opposed to Moses. He was writing about Moses in the previous part of this chapter who saw a little bit of God's glory. Remember when he was on the mountain, got in the presence of God, and the glory of God was such that he had this kind of glow on his face. Remember that? And he had that veil. He put that veil over his face because of the glow of the glory of God. Paul tells us here that he put that veil over his face so people wouldn't see the fading of God's glory. That faded Moses. Listen, Moses saw the glory of God, had the glow of God, the reflection. He was like a mirror reflecting the glory of God when he came down out of that mountain. So he put a veil over his face, but it faded away. And pretty soon he was just back to normal, and he looked like old Moses once again. And here we find a contrast between what was under the old covenant and the new, between those who were under the law and those who are now indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, listen, what we experience in Christ because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is a transformed life that is not a fading glory. It goes from glory to glory, and the idea to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory, that is not a fading glory, but a filling glory. Not a glory where our face is hidden, but with open face. The glory of God is demonstrated, reflected like a mirror by His people, like a mirror like Moses was for just a short time. And here's the reason why. Listen, you and I can start looking like the Lord. Moses came out of that mountain looking like the Lord, full of the glory of God, and before long he's looking like old Moses again. And the idea of a transformed life is the idea of being changed from looking like me to looking like Him. I'm not talking about physical appearance, but I'm talking about a spiritual reality in our life, reflecting the character, the life, and the love of the Lord Jesus through my life. And listen, so that it is not a fading experience, but it is a growing experience from glory to glory to glory. You say, Pastor, I would like to experience that kind of a transformed life. I'd like to be able to grow, be changed from the inside out, so that it is not I, but He. So that it is not I, but He. So that it's not a reflection of my plans and purposes, but all Him. So it's not my life being lived anymore, but it's His life being lived through me. The transformed life is the fact that I'm crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but now He lives in me and through me. I would like to have that kind of a life. For the Lord to take over my life, demonstrate Himself through me, that's what I want more than anything else in this world, is that kind of a transformed life. What is the key to experience a transformed life? The last part of this verse explains the source of this transformation, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. There it is. It's the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. Allowing Him to dominate your life from the inside out. if I was you and the Holy Spirit was living in me, I'd want to get to know Him so that He could take over my life, fill me, dominate me, and do in me all these things that I've tried to describe to you so I can begin to look like what a Christian is supposed to look like. Amen. Transformed life, the Spirit of God dominating my life on the inside so that the character and the life and love of Christ begins to be reflected through us. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Say, Pastor, how do I do that? Let me just remind you what I said this morning. It just begins with just admitting the truth that I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit and need to be. Humbling myself before Him. Confessing those areas of my life that are sinful. And I tell you, clearing out all the stuff. There's two things that grieve the Spirit of God, sin and stuff. Sin grieves the Spirit of God, and so you and I need to confess our sins. We need to confess them to God, and some of those sins need to be confessed to others and need to get right with other people. There's sin, and then there's stuff that just junks up our life. So we don't spend time in prayer, we don't spend time in the Word, and some of that stuff's got to go. If your life is full of stuff, you're going to have to get rid of some of that stuff. Not talking necessarily about sin, but becomes idolatrous because it keeps you from walking with God, spending time in prayer, assembling with God's people. It keeps you out of the Word, whatever it might be. Those things that keep you from being surrendered to God, you need to get rid of some of that stuff. Amen. It's kind of like the garage at your house. I don't have one, so I'll preach to you about it. It's kind of like the garage. Some of you got a garage at the house and you can't get your car in it. How many? Is anybody like that? Brother Greg is. He's got a, listen, he doesn't just have a little garage. He's got this big one. I mean, it's big. You ever driven by his house? He's got this big old shed out back. Still can't get his cars in anywhere. What is the problem, Brother Greg? Of what? Junk. Yeah. It's just full of junk, isn't it? Now, that garage was made for a vehicle. It's got the big door on the front of it for a vehicle to pull in. That's what it was made for. It was made to be filled with a vehicle, but it can't be because it is full of Greg's junk. You know what he needs to do, don't you? Help him out, Adam. What does he need to do? He needs to clean it out and get rid of the stuff so he can get his vehicle in there. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, number one, you got to confess your sins and get right with God about the sin in your life and get right with other people you need to get right with. And then as you do that, the Holy Spirit's going to start showing you all this junk in your life that's been cluttering your life and filling your life and distracting your life, and it's got you focused off of God and off of the things of God and off the Word of God. And you're going to find out that some of those things simply are junk in your life. It's not that they're necessarily bad and sinful, and it might be all right for the ungodly. It might be all right for the worldly crowd. It might be all right for the unsaved to do all those things, and maybe even some others who are Christians, but it's not going to be all right with you because you're not satisfied with normal Christianity. You want to be filled and dominated by the Holy Spirit. So you got to get honest about the fact that I'm not filled with the Spirit. And then I got to get with God and let Him clean me up. Get dealing with the sin and dealing with the stuff. And then I have to devote myself. Are you ready now? I've got to devote myself to a lifestyle, not occasional, but a lifestyle of seeking God and spending time with Him and walking with Him and fellowshipping with Him, surrendering to Him and allowing the Holy Spirit to dominate my life from the inside out. I'm not preaching this for a quick decision, but I'm preaching it to you for a lifestyle change so the Holy Spirit can begin to dominate your heart from the inside out. He wants to. That's what you need. That's what I need. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your truth, and I pray for Your people that You might grow us, You might work in us. I pray that You would teach us how to be filled and dominated with the power of the Holy Spirit. Those areas of our lives, Lord, that are sinful, I pray that You'd expose them so we could get right. All of the stuff that grieves Your Spirit, God, because it occupies so much of our mind and time and energy and resources, that, God, we might be able to deal with that stuff and get rid of it, Lord, and allow You to become the occupant, Lord, of every area of our life, of our thought life, of our time and Lord, I pray that, Father, you'll just do what you need to do in our hearts. You know what you've purposed to do in this service. And so I pray that you would. And Father, we surrender ourselves to what you're going to do now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together.